things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 13 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
The father and son Packer podcast, and this is probably going to be a short one. There isn't much to talk about, and my voice is going, so I don't know if Sean can run the whole gamut here by himself.
Packers 17, Cardinals 20. Surprisingly, last week when we talked about the struggles the team's been having, we still didn't really even account for the fact that we could lose to the Cardinals.
You know, it's somebody I talked to last week, and they were talking about, well, at least you can get your feet underneath you with the Cardinals, only a two-win team. Yeah. I said, I'm not taking anything for granted.
Yeah, a lot of people were kind of looking at this as another bye week, or, you know, you don't want to say a get-right game because we're past that point in the season, but it was just ugly all-around, lackluster performance by the team. And as you probably know by now, if you're listening to this, we're recording this Tuesday night. McCarthy is no longer in Green Bay. Mike McCarthy, after 13 seasons, fired as the Packers head coach.
Yeah, it was surprising from the standpoint that they did it mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it really matters either way. I mean, losing to the Cardinals the way they did, and if they kept him around, it's just going to be a lame duck coach. So just let him go, and you can start researching who you're going to try and woo to come to Green Bay, and, you know, it gives him a chance too, I guess.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I saw it. I don't really have an issue with it happening, but I did not expect at all for him to get fired mid-season. That's kind of unprecedented, especially with Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks. This is only the second time in league history that a Super Bowl-winning coach has won or has been fired mid-season.
Mm. Who was the other one?
Don't know.
Okay.
I even tried looking it up today, and I couldn't find it
okay.
Within the first 30 seconds, so I gave up.
Okay. Well, at least you gave it a good try. Well,
yeah. Next time, I'll give it a whole minute. Yeah, I was surprised, especially because we've talked about how there's not the same strong leadership where you have a direct owner for the Packers like all the other teams do, and that, you know, maybe that's the reason McCarthy lingered so long or Dom Capers stayed around so long, kind of past his expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely saw the other end of that spectrum where, you know, it was hours after the game McCarthy was gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when you start to really analyze, I mean, you can go back a couple of years and look at mm-hmm. how this team has performed, including, you know, last year you can make an excuse and say Aaron got hurt, but we didn't have a backup that could do the job. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Eagles, who were just like a throw-it-in-your-face kind of team, lose their starting quarterback, win the Super Bowl with their backup. So somebody's got a better plan of attack.
We spent the whole season watching the Vikings lose every starter they had on their offense and managing to make it, was it the championship game they were in, right?
Yeah.
They lost in the championship game to the Saints. It's like, you know, you're not even like using the second string QB you went into the year planning to have and making it work. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration, the unwillingness to adapt with McCarthy, and kind of just the fact that a lot of things have passed him by in the league. You know, not saying he's a bad coach by any means. What do you think about the decision to fire him now, though, compared to the end of the year, rather than like Black Monday?
Well, one thing I wanted to add was that, I mean, just look at the last three games. In the second half, we've scored 13 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty telling. I mean, especially against the Cardinals this week. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So as far as what are my feelings, I don't really care. I'm glad they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the team's not doing anything. So why not just start it, get the ball rolling? How about you?
I think it's a good move. You see it every year with, you know, teams are going to get rid of their head coach and look for a new one, or get rid of a coordinator and look for a new one. And it's always the teams that, especially when they're doing it after like a playoff run, you know, you get squeak into the playoffs, not expecting to keep your head coach, and then you get to a wild card game, and by the time you do fire your head coach, you're at the back of the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I think that's kind of what it comes down to. We're seeing, like, we want all our options to still be options.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing it now, we're really kind of showcasing that there is a seat open in Green Bay. And there's been a lot of chatter and interest from people in the league. I'm trying to think of his name, but there's a coordinator. Or there's a coach in the NFL. I think he's a QB coach or something like that. But he turned down a coordinator position in college. In hopes of going to Green Bay.
Yeah, I just saw that today. I can't remember who you're talking
about. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name either.
But so the only two teams right now that are looking for a head coach are Cleveland and Green Bay.
And Cleveland has theirs because he's leaving Green Bay. So we're really the only one.
So and it's interesting because in Cleveland, you've got this new quarterback, at least his rookie year. He's looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you get the right coach in there, you can nurture him, you can do well. Green Bay, you've got the grizzled old veteran of Aaron Rodgers that pushed Mike McCarthy out the door, convinced the rest of the people, yes, we need to do this. That's what some of the, I'm just kidding.
Okay,
Tongue in cheek. But it's a whole different situation, so you need a different coach.
Yeah, and I think there's just so much potential to pick up and go in Green Bay. You know, all the pieces are there for you to be able to implement a system and make a Super Bowl run right away. That's, you know, I don't care how good Baker Mayfield is, they're not going to the Super Bowl next year.
So we need a coach who can come in and not take 5 years like Holmgren and McCarthy did to win a Super Bowl. We need him to be able to use it while Aaron is still viable. So
pretty much.
And it's going to be interesting. You know, like any time they bring in a new coach, there's a bunch of angst and some optimism, sometimes a lot of optimism, but just hoping that they do the right thing and bring in the right coach to do it.
And we're going to talk, you know, probably more about coaching and things in this episode than we have for obvious reasons with McCarthy leaving. But I also wanted to touch on, you know, there's been so much. McCarthy's been on the hot seat this whole season, maybe last season as well.
Yeah, you think so.
But I also wanted to kind of touch base now that he has been let go and look at his legacy in Green Bay, because he's been around 13 seasons. Yeah. Is it McCarthy Way, I think?
Yep, there is
Street
a McCarthy
in
Way.
Green Bay.
Like, goes to a dead end, but yeah.
Well, you know.
maybe a cul-de-sac.
So just looking at his legacy here, he won a Super Bowl. We had four championship runs in 2010, 2011, 14, and 16. Eight straight playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Bill Belichick, that is an achievement in itself. The way the league is set up, that kind of consistency, you just don't see that. And then we also forget that when he came into Green Bay, Favre was coming off a 4-12 season, worst statistical season of his career, and McCarthy reignited his whole career. Kind of turned it around, and that's what led to him being able to have, you know, another, what, 40-year-old QB season in Minnesota. And then Rodgers, his whole career, you know, his growth as a starting quarterback in the league has been with McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just today I saw Aaron come out and say, like, you know, he's frustrated with all the talk out there between, you know, his arguments and things like that with McCarthy, because he says, of course we argue, you know, we're basically in a relationship and there's been a lot of goods and a lot of bads, but we've been working together a long time and we've had a lot of success.
Well, that's what I told you earlier, that's kind of the last couple of years. That's the new thing for the sports prognosticators and talkers to always pick on, oh, there's a rift going on between the head coach and the quarterback, and there doesn't need to be anything more than there ever was. But once they start talking about it, everybody else picks up on it. And just a sidebar, that goes for any news reporting, is that there's very few investigative journalists out there anymore. All they do is regurgitate the hot topic that people are going to click on when they see it on a website. Just a tip for you.
Joe Philbin takes over as the interim head coach. He is the offensive coordinator. How do you feel about that you know, it was obviously going to be Philbin or Pettine, the mm-hmm. defensive coordinator. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Philbin's got the experience, as Pettine mm-hmm. does, but, you know, Philbin went down to Miami, struggled in Miami, but Miami hasn't been real good for head coaches mm-hmm. to go down there. Hard to know what kind of head coach he could be. I guess this is kind of a little bit of a tryout for him. And yeah. if he does well, I don't know. I don't know if I want him as our head coach.
I don't think, you know, even if he wins our last four games, or is it four games or three games now?
Four.
Okay. So if he wins the last four, even if he wins impressively, I don't know if he would stick around as head coach. I think the way, you know, the front office with Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, I think they're just looking to kind of move on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason Joe Philbin took over is that he has a good relationship with a lot of the players. He was our offensive coordinator for quite a while before he went to Miami and then came back. And a lot of the players are still there that, you know, we had those big runs with in the 2011, 2014, 2016. When our offense was at its peak, he was the offensive coordinator for it. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't the play caller, but, you know, you still have a big role. And it's even come out now that McCarthy's left that a lot of the players and what they wanted, you know, how they were feeling or if they had ideas or suggestions or basically any message they wanted to get to McCarthy went through Joe.
Oh,
they had that relationship with Joe Philbin, thought they could talk to him, and then Joe Philbin relayed it to McCarthy. So I think there is that relationship between him and the players that might, you know, maybe he'll just let Rodgers go out there and backyard football.
Why not? I mean, the only thing, you just got to worry about getting injured. But
yeah,
it's just that's what Aaron kind of intimated, too, after the loss. And, well, let's just go. And I think he said it before this game. He said, we might as well just go for it. Well, they certainly didn't look like it. Just to get back to the game a little bit, I mean, we've been talking about how they look flat, how they weren't able to get motivated, how they just were three and out, stupid mistakes. And once again, we could just take last week's and the weeks before podcast and just kind of splice it together and give you the same thing, because that's what we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, it was very lackluster. There wasn't a ton of energy on the team, and I don't know, just not what you expect out of a Packers team, but kind of what you expect from the way the season's been going. A lot of people are saying McCarthy knew if he lost this game, he was out. I've heard conflicting stories, so I don't know. One way or the other, I am excited to see Joe Philbin as a play caller. I think we saw him briefly a while back when McCarthy gave up play calling duties for like a game.
Yeah,
or
and
two.
We didn't win, so he took him back.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see how that goes and kind of what changes, mm-hmm. if anything, in the system. Do you think there's any chance Philbin stays?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. Like I said, I really don't think I want Philbin as our head coach. Partly because I think if he was such a hot commodity, he would be head coaching somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want to get sentimental here. That drove us for 25 years in Green Bay, when we got sentimental with anybody that's related to Lombardi in some way, got touched by Lombardi. So I just want to be smart about this. You know, it's like they keep talking about we need a coach like the Rams. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the right fit for us. Our quarterback's 35.
Yeah.
And we've got a team that's got some veterans on it. We need the right coach for this team.
Mm-hmm. And people have been kind of debating back and forth now with McCarthy leaving if Pettine will stay around for next year, if they'll keep him around. Because, you know, we have had a lot more success on defense this year than we've seen in the last how many years. And I think a big part of it is just even on games where maybe the numbers weren't there on defense, the energy was there. And that, you know, it's a visible difference if you've been watching the Packers every game.
Well, and then adding in the injuries.
Mm-hmm. I think I would be happy seeing him come back next year. It's been done before. You just brought up Scott McVay. We talked about that, where the Rams, they had Wade Phillips, and then they brought in McVay, an offensive-minded head coach. So you have that stable defensive system in there where Pettine could, you know, you can have a lot more room to grow and implement a new system on offense if your defense is stopping teams. So I think we could see Pettin stay. I don't think Joe Philbin would be named head coach, and if he's not, I don't see him staying as offensive coordinator.
So that would be answering the question I was going to ask you that you asked me. Do you see Philbin staying?
No.
Okay. All
right. No, I think even if he does, you know, come out and they play great, I think they're ready to move on. You know, you're keeping Philbin as a half measure.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, that was a lot about coaching. We got a lot of news, a lot of change going on in Packerland, the land of not much change.
Yeah, it's
a lot
weird.
Of upheaval.
It's weird, and it's interesting because I think the media, since they fired McCarthy, it's like, oh my gosh, there's something we can talk about Green Bay, because usually they're so tight-lipped out of there. But you could just tell McCarthy too. I mean, the last couple of games, he just doesn't look like himself, and not as fired up. He's just kind of looking like he's going through the motions, and
He came out and said afterwards, he's like, "I'm not gonna pretend like I know what I'm doing. I've never been in this situation before. You know, like I've never." He's never really steered the boat when the boat was sinking like this. So, our offense. Moving on to offense, we did not outscore the lowest scoring offense in the league. In the Cardinals. So just let that sink in as we move forward. But Rodgers was 31 of 50 for 230 yards and a touchdown, a 65.4 QBR. So not very impressive, especially not by Aaron Rodgers' standards.
Right.
It was odd to see him smiling so much. He kept, you know, smiling, looking over at the sideline during games. And I saw a lot of people online saying, like, maybe he knew McCarthy was gone, smiling over at McCarthy.
You would have thought he would have played better.
Yeah. Did you see someone put up a clip of Rodgers from last year yelling over at the sidelines? That was a dump call.
Okay.
And
I do not.
I think people are combing back through the logs of the Rodgers McCarthy relationship now, but I think, you know, Aaron out there smiling, seeming to have a pretty good time and a tough loss, you know. During losing is one thing to see him out there smiling, but losing to a bad team at home, it's not something you expect. And I was trying to think of it today. Like, I don't know if it's because he understands that we're moving on to next season, so he's just having fun with it, or maybe it's just a reminder to all of us that it is a game. You know, as much as we want to be frustrated with the Packers season and all this, we still get to go out and watch the Packers every Sunday.
Well, I agree with that. But that would be very un-Aaron, though. I mean, usually he goes the other way, where he looks like his head's going to blow off because of a misroute or a misthrow by him or something. And I don't know. It was weird to see him acting that way. And, you know, he had some bad throws again. And I don't know, I've been saying this over and over again, how much of it is him, how much of it is these young receivers. Cobb was back. Mm-hmm. So
are we going to see Rodgers? How many games do you think we see Rodgers start?
Well, that's a good question. I was wondering that today. I mean, do you keep putting him out there, or do you start trying out your backups for next year? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think I would go with the backups.
Would you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think you have to play to win it. You have to play to win every game. I think, especially with all the young guys we have on the team, yes, it's valuable for them to go in there and get reps, but they also, it's, I think, more valuable to go in there and get reps in a game where you're competing and you're trying to win, because that competing to win and that winning attitude, as we see that with teams, that's, you need that to win in the NFL. You can't just have, you know, talented guys go out there and play. You need the desire and the, like, drive to win. Like Belichick, they win not because they always have the best players, but because they go out there to win the game. The Steelers are good every year, or decent every year for the last how many seasons because of that. And there's a lot of organizations just get that, you know, that drive to win. And I think that makes a big difference. And the Packers have been that for a lot of years, and I think we have to keep that going. We can't just look at this season as a duck and expect things to do a 180 next season.
Well, I think Mark Murphy came out and said the same thing.
Did he?
He says, I want us to get some momentum here for next year. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of young players. And so he basically said the same thing. But on the other side, for me, I mean, a lot of these young receivers were catching balls from these backup quarterbacks. They weren't the starters. And so who knows? I don't care either way. I'm just looking forward to moving forward.
Receivers Adams had 8 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Decent game for him on a bad day overall. Graham also had 8 catches for 50 yards. That's about as good as it gets in the receiving core. Cobb, I know he talked a few times, I think, before this game, how he's like, well, we're going to go out there and we're going to light it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to be all over the field. Aaron's going to just throw for huge numbers against the Cardinals, and it didn't happen. Cobb himself ended up with 3 catches for 25 yards, and overall, lackluster game. I don't, you know, don't have a ton to say about any of the receivers. Do you have anything you kind of wanted to touch on?
Not really. Another one of those cases where I tried to watch the receivers and if they were getting open, because a lot of times Aaron gets knocked around or sacked when he hangs onto the ball, and some of that is because the receivers aren't getting open. So I don't know. Cobb, it was hard to tell. He didn't really, like his stats say, he really didn't show much of a factor in the game. Mm-hmm. Didn't really see him. But that's his first game back, what, in 6 games? It makes sense, you know, for him coming back probably pretty rusty.
One thing I will be looking at in these last games with Joe Philbin as our play caller now is how we utilize the middle of the field with our receivers, because when we had those seasons of just being an aggressive and move the ball offense, we used the middle of the field a ton. We just took advantage of teams there. We had speed guys, bigger tight ends who could kind of, you know, have that mismatch. And now at this point in the season, we have targeted the middle of the field less than any other team in the league. You know, that's where you go when things aren't working.
You don't keep going
for the precision passes on the outside, the timing routes to the sideline. You go to the middle of the field where basically the percentages are higher. That's all it is.
I wonder, just thinking about Aaron smiling off to the sidelines, I wonder if, like, he wasn't really changing the plays at the line. He was just going to say, all right, I'm just going to run everything you're calling. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? According to Bill Barnwell at ESPN, I saw this in an article today, Packers receivers have dropped 201 yards worth of passes this season, which is the most in the NFL for a receiving core.
Wow.
So a lot of drop balls. But the thing is, they're not all, you know, off the hands, off the chest balls. A lot of them are just out of reach, like catchable balls, but not Aaron Rodgers throws.
Right.
Where they're behind in the traffic, they're behind the guys, they're just like fingertip catches. So I don't think it's all the receiver's fault. And I know we do have, what, 2/3 of our receiving core is rookies right now.
Right.
But I think you have to also place a lot of that on Rodgers's, at Rodgers's feet.
Which some people are literally saying it's his feet, that he's not, he's, you know, he's always been a guy that throws not perfectly, planting his feet and stuff like, but still his mechanics don't look the way they have over the years. So,
yeah.
And it could be still that knee thing. And maybe he tweaked something so he could play and he hasn't been able to get it back.
Yeah. I think, it was before the Cardinals game, but Rodgers came out and addressed that as well. He was like, you know, I get praise my whole career for doing things unorthodox in a different way. And when it doesn't quite go well, all of a sudden it's because I don't have the fundamentals.
Well, they're going to find something.
And so I thought that was interesting because it's a good point. But
But when you're unorthodox in doing it, that's one thing. But when you're unorthodox in not doing
and
it.
And it's not working.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
But that doesn't mean that he didn't go further away. That he's even more unorthodox.
Yeah. It's just the way the NFL works, though. You know, if you're a coach and you make a 4th-and-2 call to go for it, if you get that first down, you're a genius.
Yep.
If you miss it and end up losing the game because of it, you're the stupidest coach of the year.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like there's not a lot of forgiveness in the NFL.
No.
Especially just because the seasons are shorter. You know, you have baseball. 100 and how many games?
63.
163 games a year. You know, it comes out to the averages. The good teams rise to the top, mediocre ones stay in the middle, all that. It comes out in the end where Basketball's kind of the same way, but football, there's so few games in a season, mm-hmm. and that's why you get these week-to-week storylines that change so much because, you know, there's not much sample size to go off of.
I think I told you this a couple of years ago when I think Jerry Kramer's book and talking about when they used to play in the old Brewer Stadium, County Stadium, and it was... There's a bit of an overlap between the games, between the Brewers and the Packers coming in. Mm-hmm. And they walked into the locker room and the Brewer players were leaving. But they had beer cans all over and the hot dogs and all kinds of food and everything. And guys were just kind of hanging out. And the players, the football players, looking at each other going, do they do this every game? This is just, did they win
we're
the
in the wrong sport
or something? Yeah. So, I mean, but think about 163 games or 62. You're not going to be able to get amped up like you would if you had 16.
Mm-hmm. It's more of a day job at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a ton to talk about in the running game here. Aaron Jones had 11 carries for 36 yards. We didn't really, not only did we not run the ball much, I think we had 18 carries overall. But when we did, there wasn't holes opening mm-hmm. up on the line. We mm-hmm. weren't getting that push. And that kind of leads into the offensive line here. We came into the game banged up with Bakhtiari and TJ Lang, where they were questionable, weren't even sure they'd be able to go. And then over the course of this game, we lost our right guard, Byron Bell, and the right tackle, Bulaga, to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's been a tough year.
Yeah.
I mean, both lines, offense, defense, secondary.
Mike Daniels is gone for the year. Yep. That's big on our defensive line. It's frustrating, but at this point in the year, it can't be too frustrating because it's not like, ooh, our playoff hopes are now riding on a backup offensive line.
You know, and just thinking about you talking about that with the injuries and stuff, and on one hand, you know, it always comes down to the guy that's leading the charge. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get it done, then they got to find somebody else. But... You know, unfortunately, in today's world, when you got Bill Belichick, who keeps pulling a rabbit out of a hat when guys get hurt and just swaps out this player and does this, you're going to be held to that standard somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for McCarthy, beyond that, it just doesn't look good. The team doesn't look like they're willing to go out there and fight.
Yeah. I think we just saw, you know, he lost the locker room. I don't think it was a disrespect thing where you see that. A lot of, you know, teams will go away from a head coach, stop believing in their message, and lose their respect. I don't know if McCarthy ever lost their respect. I think he lost their trust in the system. I think he lost their trust that he's a good play caller and that he can go out there and win games as their coach. And that's why we need to move on. You know, I think it's gotten stale. He's been there a long time. I think we just need... fresh air.
Well, I think it happens every once in a while in the NFL where you get these star quarterbacks that cover up a lot of mistakes and mm-hmm. a lot of passivity on drafting and free agency and some coaching that isn't the best. But, you know, how many Hail Mary passes has Aaron done? How many last second
fourth
touchdowns?
Quarter comebacks?
Yeah. And so you win, you win, you win. And so we're not going to rock the boat, but I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I think with Gutekunst at GM, though, you know, based on free agents this last offseason and the way the draft went, I think he's going to be a lot more aggressive than we're used to seeing as far as acquiring players. And so I think they can, you know, we aren't, you know, we're not rebuilding here. We're not starting from scratch. We have an all-star quarterback and a lot of talent on the team. I think we can see a lot go right for this team in the next few years. We have a young secondary who's, you know, getting a lot of experience, a new defense. So I'm excited overall. Speaking of defense.
You realize that last year, I don't know, I think it was the last couple of podcasts we were talking about, we got to get rid of our GM. We've got, even McCarthy, we definitely got to get rid of our defensive.
We're getting everyone fired.
It's like, we got to stop talking about this stuff.
Well, we still got Zook to get rid of.
Yes. Oh, God.
Hashtag fire the Zook.
We'll get there in a second here.
Kenny Clark on defense had another great game. He was lining up across from their center, Mason Cole, and just kind of pushed him around the whole game. You know, you didn't have Mike Daniels in there, typically that force where they kind of feed off each other, but, you know, Clark had multiple QB pressures, made a number of plays at the line in the run game. I was very happy with what we saw from him and have all year. And Jair Alexander, I put down here just because as far as, like, energy and that juju, you know, playing with juju, he was the only one out there
that you could really
point at and say he's giving it all he has. So I'm excited for what we're going to see from him in his second year. He got beat on a double move by Christian Kirk. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
But he also had a really nice third down stop against Larry Fitzgerald that gave Rodgers the ball and a chance to win it at the end of the game. Didn't happen, but he gave him a chance.
You know, and it's hard. You know, you try not to drink the Kool-Aid and everybody's talking about how great he is as a rookie. But, man, he plays it. You know, just watching him, that's the proof. And he is exciting to watch.
He is. You know, we talked about his athleticism and just his, you know, raw talent coming into the year. And so now we're going to go into next year with a whole season under his belt of going up against some of the best receivers in the league. He's been our number one corner this whole season, and he's gone up against some top receivers and done very well. So I'm excited moving forward. I only had a couple other things to touch on defense here. I put down that Martinez had 10 tackles just because he continues, you know, to be all over the field.
He's
really kind of coming into his own, I think, in that linebacker role for us. Kind of that he's like A.J. Hawk, but with a little more speed.
Yeah, really, you think so? At that same age, I thought A.J. would have had more speed than Martinez at that age.
Maybe comparable. I don't know. AJ always, it's hard to, like, compare them.
Because AJ was more the outside rush where Martinez is the middle and playing in the middle of the field. But he definitely is a good player and exciting to have him. And I got to think he's still hurt with that ankle sprain that he had. That didn't just go away in a week or two.
So. Yeah, he had a – I think it was kind of a delayed rush at one point where he rushed their quarterback and kind of – he got there fast, I remember. He broke through the line and rushed the throw. Josh Jones, another young guy on this defense that we've been kind of keeping an eye on as a rookie this year, where drafted just pretty much for his sheer athletic
ability.
Athleticism. There we go. neither of us can talk. We should do a podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
But he had 5 tackles and a sack this game, so I wanted to highlight that. You want to move on to special teams?
Yeah, might as well.
J.K. Scott, 7 punts. That's a lot of punts.
Yep.
Packers don't normally punt 7 times. A lot of games, you know, a lot of seasons we're used to like, oh, no punts again this game. But 7 punts, average of 48.4 yards, 2 touchbacks, and 2 punts inside the 20. Overall, I think he did well. I think there was 2 punts where I was kind of like, oh, my, you know. One of them was a short punt.
Yep.
I think.
One of them that was a touchback. Our guy didn't even turn around to look for the ball. He ran to a spot on the field. He didn't even, he could have stopped the ball inside the 5. Again, fire the Zook. I mean, just game after game after game. I don't get it.
It's really that game awareness that we're not seeing on special teams, which if you're on special teams, that's kind of your main job, to be aware of when you're supposed to go in and what you're supposed to do at that moment for, like, 1 or 2 plays, you know?
Hey, at least we didn't have 12 players on the field for special teams this time.
Not this game.
Nope.
offense, defense, special teams. You got anything else?
So you think that was on purpose?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Crosby.
Yeah.
Do you think he missed? Do you think Rodgers went and whispered in Crosby's ear?
How much you want? You want $5 million?
You missed this field goal, we're free forever, Crosby.
I'll give you $5 million. And you can go out to dinner with me and Danica.
The missed field goal kind of sealed McCarthy's fate. You know, we don't know what would have happened in the game after that, but he missed it. A couple hours later, McCarthy's gone.
It was interesting talking to the Viking fans after their loss with New England and their frustrations with coaching as well. And there's, like, I don't know if you noticed, but there's animosity between – the offensive coordinator and Zimmer, the head coach, again, Norv Turner, was it last year or the year before, where he just said, all right, I'm done, I'm leaving, and it walked out. Quit coaching the team, got picked up by Carolina, I think. And so now, what's the guy? Starts with a F, I think it is. But he hasn't been running as much as Zimmer wants him to. And Zimmer just called him right out in the press conference and said, yeah, well, that wasn't my plan. That wasn't what we were supposed to be doing. And it's like he cannot be a very fun guy to be a DeFilippo.
John DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
You're getting further away.
He is. Some people are mentioning him as a possible head coach. It's like, what?
I've heard that. I have heard he's targeted as a possible head coach in some areas.
DeFilippo.
But you're going to see that on any team who has an offense that's playing well. That coordinator is going to be on people's list, at least. Like, who's the offensive coordinator that Peyton Manning had?
Mike something? I do not recall.
He got a lot of credit for that offense after Manning left. That was Peyton Manning's offense.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning created that offense, implemented it, and changed the league with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, everyone was kind of like, well, you know, here's the genius behind the plans after Manning left. And it turns out Peyton Manning was kind of his own offensive coordinator.
Well, that's part of my concern, too. It's like you bring in an offensive-minded NFL coach, or do you bring somebody in from the NFL or the college ranks?
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have a notorious history of not working. So it's hard to know because, I mean, you're literally, I mean, that's 3 years. You're not going to fire the guy after the first 2 years unless they're horrible.
Well, that happens all the time now.
Well, in Green Bay?
Well,
we did have
we've only
Ray,
seen
Ray
it.
Rhodes. We fired him after 1 year.
Yeah, we've seen, what, only a handful of Mikes in the last few decades. Of course, it's not normal in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's how we figure out who they're going to hire.
Mike Who's named somebody. Mike? Yeah, because what was it? It was Mike McCarthy, Mike Sherman.
The Walrus.
The Walrus.
Come on. I can't believe Mike started with an
M. Let's look it up here. Oh, look. You type in Packers head coaches and Joe Philbin comes up. That didn't take long, did it?
List of Green Bay Packers head coaches. There we go.
Yeah, this is good air.
Curly Mike Holmgren.
Oh, I was starting back at Curly Lambeau. Look at that picture. He had curly hair.
Imagine
Curly
that.
Lambeau.
His name was Earl.
Yeah, Mike Holmgren. So Mike McCarthy, Mike Sherman, Mike Holmgren.
And Mike Lambeau.
And Mike Lambeau. We're just running out. Mike Lombardi. There's a Mike.
Hey, yeah.
I think he's in the media mainly now,
yeah.
Right? Because he was a GM for the Browns.
Right.
And I think he went GM somewhere else, but we're getting pretty off topic here.
Yeah, we are. You're really playing into Mike's hands today.
Well, we mentioned we didn't have a ton to talk about because there wasn't much about the game with how poorly they played. We felt, you know, with the stakes that are in the season now, I didn't feel like we had to break down every miserable part
right.
of our performance.
Right.
Do you have any final thoughts to kind of wrap up
how the team played? I can just tell you that normally I don't do anything else during the game. I want to focus on the game and watch the game. It was really hard not to pick up the laptop and start surfing Reddit or something. You know, it's just like it's just so boring. You know, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt. It's man. So that would be the big thing. Final thoughts. Glad to see we're moving on from McCarthy. Excited to see who they're going to bring in. And it could take a while. So, you know, I don't think it's going to happen here anytime soon.
Yeah, mine is just kind of that it is going to be very different moving forward here as a Packers fan, where it's been a lot of the same for a long time. You know, you have only three head coaches in the last how many decades, but you've also only had two QBs.
Right.
So, you know,
25 years.
Packer fans have gotten used to consistency in a league that's built around not being able to be consistent. So, you know, maybe this will be a easy transition. We find a coach that works well with Rodgers, and, you know, we're off and running. But I could also see it just, like you said, there could be growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be interesting, at least, because this is not what we've gotten used to watching, and we'll get a lot more news probably this offseason than we're used to.
Oh, I would think so. A lot of it's just conjecture, but mm-hmm. I don't know how much of it will be.
Yeah, I know they talked about, as far as hiring, that they're not hiring right away a head coach, that they have guys they're looking at who are still, you know, coaching going in. So I don't know, maybe we'll be waiting till January when some of these coaches are done with playoffs. Maybe it'll be sooner. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know at this point.
Right.
We have the Falcons next at Lambeau at noon. We have had some tough losses, the Falcons, in the last handful of years.
Killers.
Yeah, like either some like heartbreakers, like that wild card shootout where Larry Fitzgerald kind of ruined it for us in overtime. That's the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, sorry. Where Julio Jones just destroyed us. But we've also just gotten blown out by them a couple times. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't contain their offense. They're not the Falcons they have been as of late. We're not the Packers we have been as of late. So it's really hard to know, especially because we don't have McCarthy. You know, I don't know what to look for here.
Yeah, it's fresh, man.
Sometimes you see teams fire their coach midseason, and then they have a real bounce-back game where, like, you know, they got so stagnant in the system that, you know, they kind of get the reins and loosen up a little bit. We saw that with the Browns when they got rid of Hugh Jackson, that they kind of got a little resurgence. And but we could also see a dumpster fire where Julio Jones catches 500 yards, you know. Maybe not that, but I'm interested to see how our offense does under Philbin, and just watching a lot of our young guys on offense and defense getting reps.
Yeah, yeah, maybe see some different plays that we've been begging mm-hmm. for, and just trying some different stuff going down the middle. I'm looking forward to it. Try to keep a positive attitude, I guess, and be happy that we are at least making changes.
Yeah, it's football. Change happens. We got, you know, 4 games left. Let's make the most of it.
All right, the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast is brought to you by Voice Guy Next Door. That's me. Forgive the voice. It's a little bit off today because I've got a tad of a cold. But and that's a good thing that Sean's standing in a 3x6 booth with a guy that has a cold. But
mm-hmm. I haven't been breathing in.
You haven't?
Yeah, I thought I'd get sick if I did.
Wow, that's impressive. You can check out the website at voiceguynextdoor.com, voiceguynextdoor.com. Anything you need for voiceover, voice acting, and you just give me a shout. We can talk and give you some ideas of what we can put together. And a lot of things that people have talked about for, like, e-learning, when companies do that kind of stuff where they, for their employees or possible future employees or for possible clients or current clients, is that it's really easy for them to say, well, Shawnee down the hall's got a nice voice. We can have him record it on his headset. Well, the problem with that is, one, it's not a pro. Number two, Sean going to be there forever? Does Sean keep all the files if you just need to edit something? So there's a lot that goes into it. So check out voiceguynextdoor.com.
You ready to give away the game ball?
Let's give away the game ball. You go.
This is an easy episode to give away, kind of a unique game ball, because there wasn't really anyone that stood out a ton to deserve one this game.
Okay.
So we're giving a game ball to Mike McCarthy.
As a parting gift?
Yeah, as a thank you for all the good years, all the big wins, and a Super Bowl.
On the road again.
So, you know, you're probably drowning your sorrows in your cheese curds. But reach out to us, Mike. Get us, you know, how to get the ball to you. And we'll also get you the ones from earlier in the season that other players haven't picked up yet. So nice yeah. little extra gift for him. Cheer him up.
And it's not like I think I can speak for you and say that don't have any angst for Mike. You know, Mike did a great job and he was here. He just, it just was time. It was time last year, but we,
I think he'll be successful somewhere else as a head coach.
The Andy Reid factor.
Let's move on to picks.
Yeah, please.
Mike Reagan, father of the show, finds himself up by 4 by sheer luck.
Oh, yeah.
So you picked Patriots over the Vikings last week. That's the one game we differed on. Patriots beat the Vikings. Let's move into our picks next week. We have 4 NFC North games next week.
All right.
Lions at Cardinals.
You want to go first?
It's all you.
I'll go Lions. I think Cardinals will be hung over from their win in Green Bay.
I'll go Cardinals. Cardinals at home.
Okay.
Cardinals at home. There we go.
That worked better.
Rams at Bears. This is a tough one.
I'm going to go with the Rams. Trubisky might be back. Looks like he probably is, but
Trubisky.
I don't know. I don't know if he'll be 100%. So.
Okay.
So I'll pick the Rams.
I'll go the Bears.
Yeah, it's a kind of a flop.
The Soldier Field is not an easy place to play once you hit December. And they've been playing well without Mitch Trubisky, too. Chase Daniel is their backup QB. And, you know, Matt Nagy has just come in and he wins games with creativity.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's one of the more frustrating things where we've had these frustrations with McCarthy this season and not willing, being willing to adjust or get creative, and that we have to sit here and go, the freaking Bears can do it. You know, come on.
Vikings at Seahawks.
Vikings.
Seahawks.
All right.
I think Seahawks are ramping up.
Yeah, and it's always hard to win in Seattle.
Yes.
Falcons at Packers.
I'll say Packers because in honor of Philbin, you know, the guys would be fired up.
All right. I'll go Falcons. Wow. I'm going to close this lead on you and take it away right in the last week of the season. You'll have carried a lead on picks all season just to watch it slip away.
Oh, keep dreaming, brother. Keep dreaming.
So kind of a, you know, unique episode for us this game. Didn't talk nearly as much about the games we normally do. A lot to talk about as far as news around the team than we normally have. How do you feel going forward?
Well, I'll be honest with you. On one hand, you know, like with the McCarthy firing, a little bit sad. You know, the guy's been our head coach for 13 years, but a little bit because it needed to be done and we need to shake things up a little bit. So, yeah, there is some optimism. We're moving forward. Hopefully we will do the right pick here for our head coach. You?
Oh, you know me. I'm optimistic. We got talent. Super Bowl, here we come. Was it 101st year for the Packers next year? Easy. We got this.
All right, until next week,
go Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!